world.
There we go. See, this is the stuff we've only got today, so we can't just leave this in the back office. Yeah, so Mike just asked if Bruce went yesterday and travelled.
And my response was that I thought of you two walking into the front room, seeing the game was off, closing the laptop lid and carrying on with your days. Yeah, no, we did actually travel. I could take you through every sort of minute of the journey, if you like. That would fill an hour and a half.
I'll be entirely honest. Oh,
please do. Please do, mate.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to fill.
We got as far as Goal, right? And I pride myself on... It was my turn. I actually drove for a change, although I had... Maisie's game got called off.
Let Maisie have a go.
Yeah, well, yeah. Maisie's game got called off at about 9 o'clock. So we'd arranged to leave at 12. So I'd offered to drive because there wasn't really enough, a lot of drinking time involved. So I took one for the team and said I would drive. And then all of a sudden we were free at 10:30 to go. And I sort of messaged Rob, who was going with us, and I'm like, you don't fancy driving home, do you, mate, if I drive there? And anyway, we hadn't got that far because we heard that there was a pitch inspection at 11:30, obviously, but we in the end, we left about 11, and we were just sort of down. We were on the M18 when it got called off at 2:30. It took a long time, didn't it? 25 minutes to get an announcement out from the pitch inspection, which was pretty shit. And then to make matters worse, we got to the top. Not that I'm ranting. We got to the top of the M18, and I pride myself on not using the sat nav and being pretty road savvy. And one of the passengers pointed out that if we couldn't, when you get to the top of the M18, I don't know if you Southern boys know where that is, but
motorway, innit?
Like the Southern boys, like that. You know, we weren't like born.
Still remember? Can you still remember? Yeah. Anyway, you get to the top of the M18, don't you? Right, you turn onto the M62, but it ain't a roundabout. You can't go up and down and come back down the other side. It's just basically the M62 west. So somebody went, right, we need to go up, carry on the M18, up to Goal, and then take the next roundabout and come back. So we turned off, we got the roundabout in Goal, went over, all quite well. But then I forgot that it becomes the M62 going towards Hull. You're not still on the M18. So I got chatting to the lads, and suddenly I was like, hang on a minute. Isn't that bit on the way to Ferrybridge where they do the car boot sale on the left-hand side? We'd only gone the wrong fucking way, and I just got distracted. So we had an extra 20 minutes of journey time that was wasted. Anyway, we got
did
over.
You go down, did you go down the hill in any bathtubs?
I went to the Countryman and watched the scores and had a few beers to drown my sorrows, and we didn't lose. Anyway, that's my useful contribution to the pod done at 8:02.
I think, do you know what? If that's the level of content we've got, this is going to be a beauty. Christine is here. Christine, how far had you got, or had you already taken your reserved car parking space?
My reserved? No, I hadn't, because I'm not very well, people. I was going to leave at 12 anyway, get there about 1:30. So I'd not left. And Tashar wasn't very well. I didn't even go to the Borough game yesterday. That's how unwell I am. Little violins for me.
You girls don't mention it though, do you?
What? No, I do, you know, how many times have I seen that Maisie's game was called off? She must have played about 5 games yesterday, Bruce, if they were on.
She's got as many games in hand as Rochdale usually do.
But the only thing, I did feel a bit envious actually, because I knew that all the lads had got there at about 12 o'clock on the train, and obviously you've got you've done it cheap, so you've generally got return tickets at 5:30, 6:30, whatever. And everyone looked like they had a marvellous afternoon. I wouldn't have been one of those that went to watch another bloody game though. I can't be doing with that.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. Have we got Sam back?
Sorry.
I know it's not each to their own and all that, but I'm not very good at going to a game as a neutral. I've been to internationals as a neutral, and it's when you've got no sort of vested interest, I'm just not the same. So I would have been in the pub all afternoon like the rest of them, and I see most of the lads are absolutely dying today. So I actually probably spared myself.
He's gone on mute, so
I did mute and stop talking.
I saw you muted. That was a segue into somebody talking there.
Just making sure you'd finish talking, Bruce. I didn't want to interrupt.
Oh, sorry, mate. Yes, I finished now. Thank you.
Can't even remember what was to say. I don't know. All I keep thinking of is With Nail and I, and everyone's walking around Betty's tea rooms asking for the finest wines in the land. But I assume everyone got home all right. It was a bit of a shame. And again, poorly communicated. And I know the Trust put something out yesterday. But it was interesting to know, you know, how maybe I won't look at Christine. We'll just remove her for a moment. But it's just, you know, it's a bit weird that it takes that long when Bradford City have called theirs off and who else have called them off locally? There'd been a couple, hadn't there, around that sort of way. Huddersfield Cloak sort of turned theirs off, like Halifax, something like that.
Yeah, there was quite a few, wasn't
it? Mike, you know, it's your area of the world.
Yeah, there was quite a few. I mean, interestingly, Harrogate Railway didn't call theirs off.
Did you see the reason why, though? Because apparently some Harrogate fans are saying, unlike Harrogate Railway, Harrogate have got tall stands that block the sun from hitting the pitch.
I've lived in Harrogate for a lot of years, and I don't think that's actually true. I think their stands are pretty much just as high as the Harrogate football clubs are. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there was a lot called off, wasn't there? And I mean, I thought on Friday, oh, look, you know, it's probably going to be off. But, you know, we didn't hear a thing until bang at what, 10:45, there's a pitch inspection. So, you know, generally we spoke before about you've got to let clubs, you know, try and get games on, and sometimes it's going to happen with late call-offs. But, you know, the lack of communication coming out of Harrogate was quite annoying yesterday. You know, let fans know what's happening.
The word on the street was that the referee was not very impressed.
Oh, really? You've got a direct line into the who's the ref? Trevor Kettle?
No, that was Surrey 97 on the fishy.
Oh, was it in the know?
Yeah. No. I was just somebody messaged me and said that the ref wasn't very happy, apparently. So I don't know where that came from, but you can imagine that, like you say, if it was obviously not a scheduled pitch inspection, was it? It was not, because I went in the club on Friday to pick up some tickets for Lance Mariner, who messaged me and said, could I do him a favour? And I did. Everybody in the ticket office was, you know, there's no pitch inspection scheduled. Harrogate are happy it's going to go ahead. And I never saw anything from our SLO to suggest anything otherwise, so I travelled in good faith.
It's a shame, isn't it, Bruce? You've got to get it on it.
Bruce, there's no need for that.
No, I get the impression it was a shit show.
Did you notice, though, that Bruce...
I can't say that, but that's what it sounds like.
Did you notice, though, that Christine hadn't set off yet, Bruce?
No, genuinely, I was always setting off at 12. It was genuinely poor coincidence. I was getting there at 1:30.
Is that what we're doing now, Alex? Is that what? Is the ITK in the Christine now? Is it like that?
Yeah, they're all in a group.
How are you leaving today?
Yeah, I bet there's a WhatsApp group for all the SLOs. And there was a video of that. Yeah, I bet there's a video of the Harrogate one, like building a small snowman on the side of the pitch. well, yeah, it wasn't great. And, you know, surely they could have got someone down to just do a check the night before, because there was no way it was going to be on. Unless Harrogate have got some incredible underground heating we're not aware of. Or just pouring a kettle on the pitch, I assume. Anyway.
It's just a bit amateur, isn't it? To be fair, I looked outside on Saturday morning and it looked like it was about 5 degrees. And you're like, oh, this is all right. Major's game's going to be okay. So I was quite surprised when her game was off. But evidently, that the frost gets in the soil and it takes a bit of time, even at better than freezing, to thaw out. And I didn't know that, but I'm not a groundsman.
No, it does. It takes... I think when I spoke to Martin, it needs to get up to about 7... This is where I sound like I'm dead in the know, but I'm not. It gets to about 7 degrees, and it needs to be at 7 degrees or more for quite a while before it... Because we've had so much rain, the grounds are quite damp. I hate the word moist. Are quite damp anyway. So if the cold gets into that, it takes twice as long to defrost.
Soggy.
Soggy, boggy, whatever, but not moist. It takes longer because it's deeper in the soil.
That's a new one then, Alex, moving forward, isn't it? Or we've had tractor watch, we can have thermometer watch, and we can have a thermometer next to the pitch, and you can just watch it live on YouTube as the mercury goes up and down.
I'm starting to think that the next flag should just have the word moist.
No, involved, wasn't
it? We've got a soggy bottom.
We've got a soggy bottom and moist grass.
Oh, Chris is like, why the hell did I tell him I'd be on the mob?
Well, here we go. Yeah. These are the.
I've got no game to talk about. They chat shit all the rest of the time anyway. This is going to be even worse than ever.
Did we talk about the fact that Jason said before the podcast started, that bit at the beginning for about 10 minutes, is that bit meant to be part of the podcast?
This is likely to be about half an hour of that, isn't it?
So Simon Hodson says, thanks to the Queen for letting us know. Yeah, Simon, Ollie and Mariner Hodder went, you know, everywhere yesterday. They went to they went to York first. That got called off. And then they went to Scarborough.
Yeah, I think there's a theme there with them turning up to places and getting called off. I don't know.
They just saw what was coming.
With stuff like that, I think they knew about 5 minutes before, but obviously you always let the coaches know before they get too far and stuff. So it's a real difficult one. It's a difficult one for football clubs. And as much as I hate it as a fan with postponements, fan safety only comes into it if it's the perimeter of the football ground. It is difficult, but sometimes things can be done a little bit differently. But what's
at least it wasn't Plymouth, Chris. The furthest I've ever travelled to watch Tower.
Then last year,
and I can't even tick the ground off. I drove past it. We stayed overnight in Plymouth, but I ain't been to a game. And the same with Southend.
You see, are you a bit of a? I don't know, Bruce. Are you a bit of a thing? But no, I went to that game. I've been to Plymouth a few times, and we ended up at Plymouth Mahjong, which is level 10, absolutely freezing. So it happens. It happens for all different reasons. So we'll just have to get on with it. There's nothing we can do about it.
At least it's not too far on a Tuesday.
No,
that's
true. We can all do it after school, can't we? And we can all be in bed for midnight.
If for balance, really, I noticed yesterday there's a lot of Harrogate fans piping up, wasn't there, about the game last year. And just for balance and fairness with what happened last year, we did give everybody, I think Town gave everybody a day's notice that there was a pitch inspection the next day. And that's, I think, what we're talking about as fans, you know, try and get the game on, that's fine. But let people know what's happening if you know. So I think that was unfair with Harrogate fans saying, oh, it's payback for last year.
Which is not, by the way. It's football clubs don't call games off. So in the defence of Harrogate, it's not payback for anything. Referees call football games off, not football clubs.
I can just see you and Jason lobbing prawn sandwiches at their directors next time you go.
Not at all.
Harrogate surely do like just scones and stuff, don't they, in cucumber sandwiches.
Bloody hell, scone could do more damage than a prawn sandwich in League Two.
They could from our club shop.
I bet you don't get many prawns in a sandwich.
Imagine if we did scones with the old catering, you'd be able to take someone's eye out.
Is that a raisin?
No. It's a score one on the health, hygiene certificate.
Imagine that. Imagine if that famous burger we got lobbed at somebody, the one where it's just a bun with it, like a cheese strip on it. That burger looked like it. That didn't look like a bloody shot put, didn't it?
There was a pie burger that was just as bad.
Or a discus.
I told you, didn't I? I once had a pie that was, I just had the pastry left and I banged it against the back seat in front of me so hard and it still didn't break. It was amazing. Anyway, loved it.
I broke a seat at Bradford once.
Did you? Why? Do you really think you want to be admitting this with Christine on?
I kicked it in frustration. No, I've served my time. Kicked it in frustration, and I think the stand that we go in must get the sun. It was like their equivalent of the main stand. So actually, by the time my foot made contact with the back of the seat, I think it was actually like wafer thin. It really wasn't a hard effort. And
in fairness, we assume that.
Yeah, you're quite weak. You can't kick it that hard.
No. Well, I think I hit my big toe. I had to go to first aid.
Could you? I would imagine that.
How did you do it?
No reason, you governor. God, could you? Bruce kicks a seat. There's like a tiny little chip of plastic out, and he's been carted down by two first aiders to the St. John's ambulance in the corner. I've come on over, feet.
Last time I went to Bradford, when Luke Hendry equalised in the last minute, I was I was suffering big time with a full with a hangover. I was stood up. I never realised before. There's a massive sort of, well, not massive, but quite a big sort of concourse at the top of the side stand. I've always been down the front somewhere, just getting late, and you just arrive and you find somebody else's seat, and you sort of. I went all the way to the back. I felt that ill. I just went all the way to the back, and I had a thumping headache. And then obviously there was like the best scenes that we'd had for half a season or something. And I'm just at the back, sort of leant on the barrier, holding my head in my hands because my head hurt that much. I love Bradford. It's a great away day when it's at 3 o'clock and it's easy to do.
Which it never is.
It used to be.
Mansfield's worse. That's why I like
Bruce. And then Bruce broke a chair.
And then Bruce, yeah, exactly right. Bruce broke a seat, and now it's 1 o'clock for Owen.
Yeah, I've ruined it. Ruined it.
And poor Bradford have got I've got like a £65,500 policing bill because of it, Bruce.
So that safety advisory board every time we're playing in South Yorkshire or Yorkshire somewhere, like, well, we could have this at 3 o'clock, but that Bruce Fenwick, he was a bit of a prat, so you know, we're moving it now.
Exactly right.
It was a shock. I can't remember whether it was a shocking
can we get rid of the cage and put some seats in it? No, Bruce.
No. Refereeing decision.
I'm gonna do that.
Stick Bruce European, in the cage.
Them little European clubs, won't you?
Can we do anything positive? No, Bruce Fenwick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Bruce, he's not going today. Yeah, but he might make a last minute decision.
Yeah,
that's why. So we can tell Mansfield, like, you know, if Bruce doesn't come, we can have a 3 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday.
Mansfield. Now that is a shit away day. That is one of the worst away days. It could be really good, but it's just crap. It's always an early kickoff. It's that there's no decent. Well, to be fair, they can't do a lot about that. There's nowhere decent around. We ended up in the Bowman Alley last year for a pint, and a few years ago when it was a 12 o'clock kickoff, everyone had to go for breakfast in some Mexican or something to get a bottle of beer. It's just rubbish. I mean, it's just, Mansfield's just a shithole. And that's someone that lives in Grimsby around here.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with Grimsby. I'm not having that.
No, I'm just yeah. in whatever, before they pipe up and say it, that's all. Not that anyone
I've been many places in the world, and I've never ever seen anywhere else in the world where a telephone box got blown up by 15 fireworks at once. And you can, you know, that's what makes Grimsby special.
Somebody's painted the lion.
Have they? Were they meant to?
Have you seen?
No, I think it's like clown paint, isn't it?
You know the lion. You
Is there still one there now, or is there two?
There's one there because some joyriding dickhead. Yeah. Some joyriding dickhead took it out.
And Bruce kicked a lion.
Yeah. There's your pod title. Some dickhead took it out in a buddy on the run in a joyriding or whatever they were doing in a nick car from the police. But apparently he said sorry and he's got let off. But the other one now has had its face spray painted.
I can't wait for that new Grimsby statue for everyone to try and knock his knob off again.
There are teenagers out there with the internet and they go and
freely available porn everywhere.
And they go and spray paint a lion.
They don't even need to go to Willesby Woods to look for porn anymore. It's freely available everywhere. It's not in a hedge.
In our day,
I've got to go get the music back.
You'd be boasting about a porno that you found in a bush. Sorry, Chris. You'd be boasting about it to your mates. These lads, these kids are going into school. Oh, spray painted the lion at Willesby Woods.
I tell you what,
sad times. The youth of today. Absolute
disgrace when he went.
They barely leave the house, and when they do, they go and spray paint a fucking lion. And that's
it's
how
a very generalised view you have of young people, Bruce.
Well, somebody's
Maisie that did it.
It's come today.
It might be one of our lot on the way home from Harrogate yesterday.
Can I just say, the way Bruce says the internet earlier, it's like he doesn't actually understand what the internet is.
No.
It's where I find all my videos, Mike.
I don't know about that. Don't know about that, mate.
What video?
He's got porn on this day and GTFP on this day.
You don't need any more of these.
Don't do that. That's probably got a game on that nobody else has. What's that one?
Hey, I've got that extreme now. Have you heard of Steve Saunders? He used to play for us in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, was it the game the other week?
Well, Steve Saunders has got apparently a full match of Halifax in the FA Cup in 87-88. And I'm excited about that.
That's the first time I've smiled in 20 minutes.
And I don't need to go on Spray Paint Lions to get excited. I just get.
I thought Christine was yawning then.
All ones of these. You ask Claire.
Yeah, Claire's gone.
she probably moved out.
She left me.
I haven't been downstairs to notice.
It's just
I'm enjoying this actually. I thought it'd be shit tonight.
Where she usually sleeps in bed, it's just a big pile of VHS videos in the shape of a body.
I have made several appeals to get them in warm storage. That might work.
Go on, flog it again then, Bruce. You need someone to hold your videos because you don't want to keep them in the house in case the police raid you.
Because they're rookie.
I don't want to. Yeah, we need somewhere warm to like cuddle them and keep them safe.
Somewhere moist.
They're like 40-odd years old, some of these things now, and they're getting a bit
just adoringly looking at that VHS look.
Oh, hang on, that's Debbie does. No, never mind. There's a town one here somewhere.
Debbie does the interviews, Bruce.
Not that Debbie.
No, do you know what I bet he does?
Before you say it, no.
I bet he sits there every night and just rewinds like 8 videos just because he likes listening to the noise of it.
I'll tell you what we should have got him for Christmas. Remember those old ones that look like bookcases? We should have got you some of those VHS covers.
Oh, yeah.
You must have had them, Bruce. They were like plasticky.
They look like
a really shit Encyclopedia Britannica. No?
No, I don't think so.
Well, you're going to be surprised on Christmas Day, my friend.
My birthday's sooner.
When's that?
April the 20th. Have I told you I shared a birthday with Adolf Hitler?
Where did you go? Fatty Arbuckles?
No.
That's a reference for the kids.
He wasn't looking too good, so we just stayed local.
Round the bunker.
I remember once, and I mean, this has got to be the shittiest
book ever. I can't say this in an Union Berlin shirt.
Right, this has got to be the shittiest book ever, right?
I thought you were going to say podcast there for a minute, because...
We're not really covered football,
to be honest.
We don't need that. But I got given this book, and it was like, whose birthdays was on what date, right? So you go flicking through, and you look up your birthday, and you see who it is, and when are you ever going to do anything with that book ever again? And I had Adolf Hitler. I didn't even have some German footballer from the 1920s or something. Adolf bloody Hitler.
I just looked mine anyway, up. I share it with Charlie Chaplin, John Cryer, and Anthony Blinken. Does that help?
Not particularly. Okay.
Right. Josh said, asking a question of Christine, how much is she demanding for Camille Conte with his enormous potential?
How much do I demand?
Yeah, how much are you demanding? 3.5 million?
Yeah, 10 million.
Yeah, okay. You've heard it here first, people.
Yeah, no.
More of a fucking solid rumour than we've heard on Twitter.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff, and it's unhelpful for me to comment on stuff like that.
I think you helped amazingly.
I don't think you were expecting a serious comment there. Apart from the how many million was it, Alex?
10.5. Christine,
town director says we will not sell him for less than. I'm sure Bristol Rovers can come up with that.
Yeah.
I mean, if they pay Joey Barton, they've got no idea of what value anything is. So
they can't even build a proper ground. They've got marquees at one end, haven't they?
No, they've stopped that now. Yeah, me and Christine were sharing images of it because they've built like it looks temporary almost, a bit like Eastleigh did. You don't know Eastleigh, Bruce.
I went in the playoffs. That was a long way on a Thursday night, but it was well worth it.
Yeah, it was Nathan Arnold cracker. But
two crackers.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The second one is underrated, isn't it?
I thought the second one was better than the first one.
I think so too. That was the night I took my lad out. This is karma because I took my lad out of school for a dentist appointment, went all the way down to Eastleigh, abandoned the dentist appointment, abandoned the car. Bearing in mind, I was a governor at the time. And he was on the front page of the Telegraph the next day.
That's where it, just tell them it's a pain in the ass to find an NHS dentist. They'll understand.
I have to drive to Rotherham for an NHS dentist.
There you go.
There we go. That's the proper sub story, Bruce.
I go to the Yarborough.
Well, the pub.
Yeah, yeah. They do extractions in the back room.
Is that I mean, it's big enough, they
might as well.
Is that all our managers from Rotherham? Christine just meets them when she's going to the dentist.
At the dentist, yeah.
Was it Paul Edge? Paul Edge recommended it.
Yeah. Imagine in the waiting room, it's Urs Doig and David Artell and Christine. That guy is a font of all knowledge for town gossip. That's where everyone's getting it from.
What? Who's that?
The dentist in Rotherham.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do we have to do sensible stuff? How's it going? New person.
I feel like at some point you're going to have to.
Dave has left the board and he's now working with Broadley as well.
He is.
Anything you'd like to say about his departure? Stalwart of the club?
I think I tweeted, didn't I, that, and I'll always say that Dave is the reason that I sit here now doing a podcast and on the board of the football club. He will just help without question wherever he can. But people's lives change. He's dedicated basically a full-time job for so many years, and he's now got, I think he said he's got grandkids, family, and sometimes they have to come first, because it is being on the board of the football club and being involved in the trust is absolutely brilliant, and it gives you so much pride to be able to be involved and to help make changes. But it's incredibly difficult sometimes, and it's hard work. So, yeah, he's going to have to enjoy it. He's still involved with the trust, doing little bits. The race night next Friday in the trust bar, Dave's heading that up. But going over to Broad is a real nice fit for both of them. Matt will get an infinite amount of information and help that will help those guys carry on doing the great work that they do. And obviously they linked up for the charity game that was at Blundell Park a couple of years ago as well. So I think it suits everybody. It's a real good move for Dave. I'll miss him massively. I'll miss being able to ring him and go, Dave, what's going on with this? How do I deal with this? What do you think to this? But I don't think he'll miss that at half an hour at night. But Brian is a real lovely guy and genuinely lovely, but really knowledgeable. Been a supporter a long, long time. I think there's a little interview with both of them on the Trust website that we'll share a link to, just about their history and stuff. But yeah, it's been a transition that if you read the Trust notes, it's been happening for a little while. And then the last board meeting was when Dave officially stepped down. So it's been a smooth transition. I think Brian's enjoying it. There's a lot to learn. But yeah, he'll love it as much as I do, I think.
Yeah.
Is it worth you just touched on next Friday and the race night and stuff. Do you think it's worth you mentioning a little bit about that? Because there might be people that are local and exiles and stuff that maybe can't get there, but might, you know, be able to sponsor a horse or do something. Yeah. Perhaps should tell people what it's all about.
So most of you know Clive Wigginton, ex-player for Grimsby Town's been diagnosed with dementia. Unfortunately, in the days that Clive played, there were no big wage pots and pension pots and all the rest of it. And there's a little bit of a struggle financially. His wife contacted us, or somebody contacted us, as a trust to see if we can help out. We've raised about £1,000 already before the race night. So the race that next Friday is, I think, the six races. All six races are sponsored. I think through the trust website there are still some horses available, as well as obviously coming on the night and having a little bit of a bet and having a bit of a chat about some of the games that he played, some of the memories that you have of Clive playing. And it's just... We say it time and again, and this is a little bit of a different scale, but we might not have a lot around here, but might not have a lot. But what we give, if we've got something, we'll give it. And with Clive again, it'll be a massive, massive help to them that running the memories group, I know how much dementia can have a real impact. You're talking to somebody that looks exactly the same, but they're not. And I've had ex-players, actually, at the club that have passed away, Jimmy Thompson, et cetera, that can remember or come into the football club and came and sat on the bench for one game and started singing a song that the fans used to sing when he played for us, but can't remember what happened this morning or 20 minutes ago. Football has a massive power to put people that have got dementia in a real positive place that, where they're happy, and it's not in the here and now. But that doesn't matter. So, yeah, hopefully Friday night's a real nice social for people. There'll be all different bits going on, name cards, and it's a bit of a quiz. So if you can't get there in person, if you don't want to sponsor a horse, there's a donation button on the Trust website as well, mamastrust.co.uk. Give what you can if you can. If you've got can't physically give any cash, you can drop off a raffle prize as well to the club, and we can sort that as well. But it's really important that the family of the foot, we talk about family all the time, but that extends to sort of family of ex-players that football at the time didn't have any money to be able to look after in later years.
Yeah, we've put a bit of a ticker down at the bottom, so if you're watching it live or watch it later, you can go to that. They on the Trust web, on the Trust Twitter account, it says inquire at marinerstrust.co.uk, and you can donate at the Mariners Trust as well if you wish to on the shop side of it as well. So, but it's on Friday. What time is it on Friday, Christine? 7 o'clock?
I can't remember. You know, it's half six for seven, I think.
Nice one. So half six, 7 o'clock. I'll make sure we find out. To help with the bar, I can't find it on the website. I'll have a look, but yeah, get down there. We'll tweet the information as well, because it's a well worthy cause. Mike, what were you going to say? Oh, okay, you text me. That was all. So I didn't know what you were saying. Texting me in secret, doing secret squirrels. And then, how is the Heritage Project going, Christine?
Heritage Project is going really, really well. We are geared up to launch the website properly at the end of the month. So we've been scanning programs page to page. They've gone over. We're incredibly lucky as a football club that we've got such a large breadth of people that, like Bruce, like Dave Wherry, Tim Bell, Rob McElveen, everybody that has a real interest in looking after and preserving the history of the football club, but will share it as well. So that website will go live at the end of the month. Obviously, we put an appeal out, if you like, following Rob's book release on the 33-34 championship season. Of the 20 that were involved that season that we're looking out for, we've had five emails so far, five different players, and having conversations with them, they're absolutely delighted that there's a little bit of recognition. Most of them are grandparents, great-grandparents. I think we've had one just come in, great-great-grandparent. Might not be particularly interested in the football club, but absolutely delighted that there's a little bit of recognition, a little bit of something for those. I haven't spoken to Dave or Tim, but I don't think they'll mind sharing that they've worked on heritage numbers as well. So as part of the Heritage Project, they've gifted me, which is unbelievable. So every player that's played for Grimsby Town has a heritage number. So we're going to create little badges for each player that's ever played for Grimsby Town in a professional game. So even, I can't remember his name, but he came on for about a minute and a half, so West Brom or something. Don't think he touched the ball, but he's got a heritage number. What was his name, the Dutch player? I can't remember his name. But I think he came on for about a minute and a half, but they've all got heritage badges.
Not Sanders Fosterwald.
No, he played quite
a few games more than that,
didn't he? Yeah.
Not Marcel.
Was it Robbie Boucher?
Yeah, maybe.
Could have been.
Yeah.
He didn't play a lot, did he?
No, I think that's all he did. But we're going to create a little letter that gives the heritage number a little bit of a fact, and that'll hopefully connect us up with lots of players, even players that have passed with surviving family members. Everybody that's contacted us has got memorabilia. That they're happy to share, whether that's scan it to go on the website so that it's there forever. A big part of the Heritage Project is digitalization of what we've got, because it's all well and good sat in a cupboard, means nothing. So it's a big undertaking. I've got since I went into post in November, we've got a team of about 12 working on the project, doing different things. But it's fantastic. It's, you know, we all know because we love the football club, but we're going to be able to share how much this little club has done over the years. We might be sort of at low reaches right now. Hopefully it's not forever, but we've done some big stuff over the 100 and odd years we've been going.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Is there anything you need in terms of support for it as well, or is it sounds like a big old task?
It is big, but we'll just break it down into chunks. So we've got at the minute I've split them into different teams. So we've got a scanning team, we've got an ancestry team. So there's six on the ancestry team that have got a list of players to go out and find living relatives for. Obviously, the current squad's really easy because you just got a cheap side and there's their badge and their number. And obviously, you can, Dave Moore's in there, Ben Davies, Sean Pearson. You know, there's quite a few down there, Neil Woods. Oh,
does Paul Hurst get one?
He didn't play for us, so no.
Oh, he played in a friendly, that was all. Does that not count?
No.
Ah, fine.
Friendlies don't count. But I mean, the ultimate aim is to make connections with families, to have a former players association at some point. That's a little bit way off in the future. But we're looking at how different former players associations are formed to make it easy to get players back, whether it's for events or for match days. And just make it, it's just a nice thing to do. It's a nice thing for people to be involved in. And I love it. There's nothing better than spend 2 days a week working on your football club and finding little golden nuggets of pieces that you didn't know existed. Or there's a couple of bits that we've been told about that I'm not going to talk about now, but that we're going to get our hands on to take a photo of and have memories and conversations with. So, yeah.
Do you know who number one is on the player registration?
Yeah.
Be revealed.
Shall I reveal? 1 minute.
Yeah. Number one would be amazing. If you've got an Excel sheet, I just imagine people asking their favourite numbers to see where it is.
Yeah, we're not. So these numbers will go on the...
amazing.
The numbers are going to go on the website, but we're not going to put them all in one to the number that we're at now, because that just means that people are going to go on the website and look for it. So what we want people to do, what we want families to do, ex-players, is to contact us, open that conversation, open up any memorabilia, memories, give them their number and do it that way. So you're sort of gatekeeping in a way, but so there's quite a few different caveats. So I'm not going to go through it all. So the first ever game in 1878 was more of a friendly.
Did Harry Atkinson play?
What was the attendance, Bruce? What was the food available?
Atkinson didn't play in the friendly against Brigg at Brigg.
Oh, okay.
But it was actually, so Gordon Wilson's working on this. Gordon Wilson is incredible. And I didn't realise until he told me that we actually played Sheffield Rules. I don't know if anybody knows what Sheffield Rules was in 1878. No, 12 players. So we actually ended up, the brother of one of the players had to play, and I think he was in his 50s when he played. There's hope. But number one.
It better be a goalkeeper.
What a name. Dick Chapman.
There we go. That's not bad, though.
No, so the first, so this is professional games. So that was our first professional game, was the RFA Cup debut in 1882. But we've got quite a few leads. Go on.
I wonder who's going to get the story of the poor guy that killed an opponent.
Yes.
Will you let one of the other members do that, to give out their badge?
They didn't kick a seat, did they?
No, he the guy that he challenged.
He went on a challenge, didn't he?
He ruptured his something or another, and he didn't know, and he died the next day.
Was it his spleen or his liver or
spleen,
something?
I wanted to say his spleen, but I didn't want
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I think it was his wrong. Spleen. It was completely accidental. But yeah, he died. But it's really interesting because we talk about travelling, and again, thanks to Gordon, we talk about travelling from Yorkshire or wherever. A lot of our players were Lancashire based. And they used to come in on the coal trains to games.
Used to be milk trains as well. Milk trains.
Yeah, coal trains, milk trains.
milk train. Yeah, yeah. Get people like Baz Whittleton telling you about coming home on the milk train and stuff.
Yeah.
From away games.
Yeah. One day, Baz Whittleton will have his own train for away games. He will.
Yeah.
Can we at least just do the model railway at Cleethorpes to just give him a football special?
Yeah. From the marketplace down to Blunderpark. But there's just loads of little stories. And you just, there are stories that we won't have a clue about right now that we'll sort of dig into. A lot of them in the first sort of 20, 30 years were good cricketers as well. Obviously, it's no surprise of how we were formed, but some of them were solicitors. So really sort of well-educated, and football was a new exciting thing. We'll do that. We might have a look at women's football as well, because when it was banned, there was a Grimsby guy that was trying to drive a new FA. And there were 3 or 4 Grimsby girls that were involved in that. So there's loads to do, but it'll just carry on. When the project officially ends, we'll just carry on with it, because why wouldn't you?
And the thing is as well, like a little, you know, a relatively small club like ours, and you've got Arthur Drury in your history as well. You know, yeah. you've got the head of FIFA. You know, it's like, it's mental, really. That he ran FIFA. But I was just you talk about travelling. I was reading a bit of Rob's book. I got it for Christmas, and I was reading a bit of that this morning. And in the 33-34 season, we went to one of the Nottingham clubs, and we took 4,000 in 1933. 4,000 to, you know, we think we travel well now. And there was something like, but you know, you think how many people had cars in those days. There were 4 special trains. How many must have been on each train? You know, there wouldn't have been many went by car. It said some went by car, but most would have been on the trains. You know, British Transport Police think they've got a problem now. And apparently there were three arrested after the game. Two of our fans were nicking glasses from one of the pubs as a memento of the day out in Nottingham. There were two blokes arrested, and there was one woman arrested on the platform at Nottingham Station. She fell onto the track. She was that pissed.
Did anybody tell that bloke from the time?
So proud.
He would have loved it, mate. Nothing changed. He would have loved it.
Hooliganism is not a new thing. It was rife in the early 1900s. They used to... Fans used to attack charabangs when the teams were quite local and come on charabangs. Fans used to attack them. Teams would hide in changing rooms. So hooliganism is not a new thing. But, I mean, we've been looking at sort of, obviously, play was suspended for the Second World War, but there were still games. And our team would be whoever was in town at the time, whether they were ex-players back on leave or whatever. But we played a lot of our games at the old showground, or the showground at Scunthorpe, and we held the attendance record for a while at the showground, apparently. We played Sunderland. We did a 2-leg FA Cup, wartime FA Cup. I think we got to, was it semi-final? We went out to against Sunderland. But the home leg of the Sunderland game was the record attendance for a while.
So got to give them some it. Got to give them.
I think there were 322 there, Alex.
Was it? Yeah, that was the record. Oh God, we weren't having to raise more money for them, were we? Jesus. Yeah, that sounds amazing. I can't wait to read it all. I'm sure Bruce, you know, we'll not see him for a week.
It does say a lot, though, doesn't it? When we were getting bombed in the war, but they didn't bother with Scunthorpe.
I wouldn't say a word, Bruce. You know, do you know what? The history of Grimsby for the Second World War is really interesting. Yeah. First place to have cluster munitions dumped on it in the world.
Yeah. Butterfly bombs, was it?
Yeah. Amazing. Mm. I got to see a couple up front, which was really nice, that they'd found in Grimsby down like Wellham Road or something, which was interesting. We'll go into that one day. We can do a history section.
The church down Grimsby Road looks like the cathedral in Coventry now.
I guess it does, yeah. Oh, the one that got burnt? Yeah, no, I saw it when I was up. It looks
that's
sad, a bit, it?
That's I've never been to that one in Coventry, but I've seen pictures of it, and that's mentally, you know, it's really sort of thought-provoking that they just left it like that.
There's a place in London that's like that. It's called St. Dunstan's in the East, which is kind of in the city. It had burnt down in the Great Fire of London. Christopher Wren had rebuilt it, and then it got bombed out in the Second World War, and they've made it into a garden. So it's well worth, if you're in London, you need somewhere to go eat your Boots meal deal because you can't be bothered to pay £85 for a lunch. You can go and sit in their garden. It's quite nice. I hope that helps. Every day's a school day.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
This pod has moved on, hasn't it, in the last 20 minutes?
It's gone from Bruce ranting and moaning to real cultural, you know.
You see, Christine's writing that down for an ex-supporters guide in London.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not allowed to do it anymore because the last time I suggested a pub that had been closed.
I think Christine did that yesterday, didn't she?
Yeah, right, no. No. So I don't check every single pub. I get information from the police and the home team, and I just put it in. If I've got time to check them, which I haven't, then that would be great. But that was the pub recommendation.
You haven't been to that cash machine that you told us was there?
Oh, I checked the websites for that, but I've never been to that pub at Harrogate. I think it's a hotel or something, is it? And it's been renovated. But it might be finished by the time I go back.
Was it cool?
I put some advice in on parking at Woking, and Christine told me the police told her to take it out.
They're like, don't tell fans I can park there. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Hey, I've booked, just to change subject slightly, I've booked my train tickets for Wimbledon this week, Alex. I did put it in the group, I think. But
okay, so thank you very much for this. It's Leanne's birthday. Is it?
£36 return.
That's not
a bargain, isn't it, from Cleethorpes?
Cost you about that much to get across London.
Yeah, mate, that costs like £36 just to get to King's Cross from here. That's banging, mate.
I reckon that's a really good... We're going on half eight on Tuesday morning, and we're coming back 12:30 or something on Wednesday. So we've got to find a little hotel, but the train was the most important one.
Staying around my house, are you?
Well, there's three of us at the minute. I think Sam said Sam might end up, if Sam gets in the sort of state that he did last time he came drinking with us, he won't make it back to wherever. He might have to stay at your house, mate.
Yeah, but Mike doesn't want any underwear left.
We got Sam, I mean, I was leathered to be fair, but we got Sam and Jack a little bit drunk at Oxford.
You really did.
Mike was there to witness it all, to witness the whole thing.
Jack was like, Alex, can you
be fair, Bruce, you were a pain in the arse at Oxford.
The only time I saw him was he was looking up at everyone when they were singing that.
Yeah, and it's like, move out the bloody way, man. Yeah, but you were in the way.
Oh, so now I've broken a seat and I got in the SLO's way. I better enjoy my next away game, Alex. It might be your last.
You carry on with that behaviour.
Michael Yarborough says, I hope everyone's used the £2 return Transplanting Express deal for future away days. That's an offer that's out at the moment. So go check that out.
They keep tweeting. Transplanting Express keep tweeting like, oh, but this is what we're doing for you. But I thought they'd lost the franchise.
They have, but it's under the same name and it's just run.
Yeah.
So has it got new... Have they gone now? Have they got new people? And like,
it's run by the government.
The people that were running it.
Christine will know.
It's the same premise as LNER, isn't it?
Yeah, basically. Hopefully we can get them to sponsor our stadium like Lincoln got LNER.
Well, they've got... I think don't they do two or three stadiums, LNER? Are they involved at York as well?
Yeah, it's the LNER Community Stadium, isn't it? But I don't know. I don't know what we can call ours. Whether that salmon factory is that's going to be built next door. That's going to ruin everybody's secretly going to that no one has worked out yet is going to ruin everybody's view of the boats.
Christine, just while you're on, can you just make a note of away games that we'd like things we'd like in pre-season for the next board meeting, please?
Ah, Jesus, like, 1 minute. I'll add it to the massive list.
I'd like to go to Scarborough.
Who?
To Scarborough.
Whitby. Let's do Whitby. Might win.
We could do a Scarborough Whitby.
Might keep a clean sheet.
Games in 2 days.
Okay.
So you just want to do North Yorkshire?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you probably North go Yorkshire. For that. He's a lad from Rotherham. He enjoys a seaside break in the summer.
Bruce is basically just wanting to do the steam train, isn't he?
They could be our sort of home games, and then the pre-season tour. I know it won't be everybody's cup of tea, but I think we should go back to the Czech Republic and retrace the steps of the boys from the 50s.
What about Bulgaria? They've got a cheap beer.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be along the history theme. We could go on. We could go back to the little clubs that we used to play in the 50s.
So who did we play?
Oh, I can't remember the names now, mate.
I'd quite like to play Siena, because that's where the copy of the Dock Tower is, or the actual one, and also they play in black and white. And it's in Italy, so, you know, that'd be nice. Josh suggests Iceland.
Can I say, Christine's not writing these down. I don't think she's taking
this. Yeah, she's not getting the notes. This is terrible.
I feel like you're not taking this seriously.
Taking it in.
Tackleberry says, as it's close to my house, how about Bognor Regis? Bognor was a great away day.
It was. Bognor was so... the kids were mascots, and they were so welcoming and lovely. I can't remember the name of the guy that was the volunteer there, but I follow him on Twitter, and they were absolutely lovely. It was a great weekend.
Who have been the most welcoming, and you think are the most accommodating clubs, Christine? Let's not go negative.
No, I definitely don't.
Who else is it? Who's the nicest?
Bognor. Over the years, Doncaster are really nice. Considering when you consider that, well, it's not a derby, is it? But it's relatively close. When we did their Christmas, they invited some of our kids to their Christmas party. So Doncaster are really nice.
You ate Scunthorpe too. Let's be best friends.
Yeah, something like that. That's about it. People are generally nice when you contact them. There's very few, or not really any, that aren't nice to me anyway.
I think the lower that the opposition got when we were in non-league, there was a friendliness, and there was also a little bit of a naivety sometimes. And the naivety was sometimes made them accommodate, it made the place seem accommodating, because they didn't have the heavy-handed approach that we were used to elsewhere. we chatted about it online the day, didn't we, about when we went to Welling. I took a picture when we got there, and the queue was about half a mile down the road, and it was about 10 to 3, and it's like...
The first time we went...
I don't think your little side...
No, it wasn't the first time. It was... I'm going to sneeze. It's when Podge got his hat-trick, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the first time we went... Half time, we won 4-0.
The first time we went in the FA Trophy, they didn't do any segregation or anything. It was when Marcus Marshall had the game of his life before Braintree. And we were all stood at one end, and then they all changed around at halftime. And we have obviously no idea how that works. And we kind of just all stood together on one end. They're like, what the fuck are you lot doing over here? Go over there.
What games did we do unsegregated? I've got a feeling I went to... I've got a feeling I went in the early days of non-league to Ebbsfleet, and I seem to remember that fans were... it might just be the mind playing tricks with me, but I seem to remember that. And were we segregated at Eastbourne?
Did any of you go to
Eastbourne?
I think the thing was, though, when we got relegated, we weren't taking a huge amount of fans, and then as a group of 12 to 16 year olds got to 14 to 17 to 18, started going. Yeah. Not particularly because of a bad behaviour or anything like that, but just sheer numbers. It got to the point where it's like, no, we're going to have to segregate, you know.
That really changed. It was about 2014, probably.
It was a couple of seasons before we got promoted that numbers started going up.
I think they got... The thing was, they were bouncy, and the behaviour was sort of on the edge, and it was a bit old school, really. And they made for a good atmosphere, and you know, there was often like several hundred of them that added to the gate. And like you say, all of a sudden you went from taking 350 to sort of 600 or 700 anywhere.
Yeah,
and it made for a really... And then because of the behaviour, the club picked them out. And I mean, that would probably still happen now. And a few of them got banned and one thing or another. And a few of them grew up and went in different directions. But our numbers for several years in the non-league were were really good, and they made for a really good atmosphere. Yes, it might not be everybody's thing, and you can't say anything about it, but you know, the flares and stuff like that, it made for a bit of an old school atmosphere. Oh, Alfreton, them trips to Alfreton were mental, weren't they? They were,
it was just those ones with the guys at the back banging the roof, banging the ceiling, jumping.
The guys
down.
on the roof.
Christine having a nightmare.
No, I went one year dressed as a nun. What year would that have been?
You weren't driving the bus, were you?
No, I was not. No, I didn't go to that one. My son was doing some sort of project, and I remember going, oh, we need to get back. And then it was just bus watch. What the heck's going on here? Anyway, so the time I got home, thankfully that delay meant that I didn't miss any of the games. So appreciate that. We had one year where it was fancy dress. So we all got dressed up as nuns. It was boiling that day. Absolutely boiling.
It was funny that bus watch, because the town driver was about the only person in the whole of like that part of the country, including all the town fans, who didn't know there had been an accident or something on the M1. And it was just like, a lot of the fans were in the ground, and they were in the ground, and they were in the ground, and that was it. They were just done, sat on that terrace. We were still in the pub, and the police just kept coming into the beer garden and saying, "Oh, you're all right, lads, you're all right. Your coach isn't here yet. Oh, nice one. Go get another pint." And half the town fans are messaging, "Oh, we're bored shitless. We're in the ground. We've been in it an hour and a half or whatever." And we were just in the pub, and like I said, the police, to be fair to them,
Bruce couldn't stand. Like,
you know, your bus has been delayed. They're still not here. And we just had a great time. But just in the non-league thing, you go to many games where you didn't have to pay the right price to get in.
I always paid the right price, Bruce.
Doesn't need to now.
Didn't you go to Gateshead that year where they ran out of cash, or were you already in the ground?
I
know, it was freezing. It was absolutely freezing.
Oh yeah, no, I had to pay. I must have got in quite. I think I took the kids, so I was in quite early.
There was one little pub near the ground in Gateshead, wasn't there? That pub on its own in the middle of nowhere. And we'd been in there, and it was quite a proper old school pub, but it was like in the middle of nowhere. Walked to the ground. And it was something like, I don't know, it was like, say it was 15 quid to get in or something. And he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, we've run out of, we've only got tenners or something." And it's like, "Have you got a tenner?" "No, I ain't got a tenner." You know, people sort of sussed out. "Oh, I haven't got a tenner, mate." "No, I've got a fiver though." Oh, in you come, sort of thing. And it was just, they just...
Does Christine need to go?
They just, no, that was the bloke on the turnstile, that wasn't me.
Yeah, no, yeah, no, not you. You'd already been kicked out for breaking a seat.
It is good fun following town, though. I mean, you do sometimes try and, like, you know, you we've all done it where you got in for something that you're not or something like that. And
I'm not saying anything about the scanning tickets. That never.
If you can save a fiver on the day, you feel like a winner if you've sort of. You know, got in. I'll be soon getting in for an OAP rather than a student.
You bloody won't.
You're going to be on a watch list now, Bruce. He's under six. He's got a student on this ticket.
I got in as a student at Swindon about 3 years ago.
I remember, you know, that season we got dicked by Rotherham 4-1 at the Don Valley Stadium.
Yes.
Everybody got in for student with that one, didn't they?
No, I didn't. And I was a student. I had my student card, but it was so shit. It basically was just a piece of card laminated. They went, "That's not a real student card. You've done that yourself, mate." It's like, "I really haven't. Can I please come in?" I had to pay full fucking price to watch us.
Have I told you the story about my mate who, about 20 years ago, got in at Port Vale as a junior or something? And they argued and argued on the turnstiles how old he was. And then they were watching him. And when he got in the ground after loads of arguing, they lobbed him out for underage drinking in the ground.
That's amazing. He never
that
went
is,
back
that
there,
is karma.
Bruce?
That is karma. That is karma.
Bruce never went back.
No, I didn't do that one. Port Vale, that's a horrible place to go, isn't it? Not that. That. They're not very friendly in Stoke.
Why not?
They're just not. I remember the year that you'll all be too young, but when we stayed up in 1992. Oh, they came on the pitch because they got relegated and there was lobbing coins and oh, there was all sorts going off. It was mental in the car park.
You made a fortune though, didn't you?
I went with my old school teacher that I've told you about before that took me. And he got hit on the head and he come out with his head bleeding. Got hit on the head with a, must have been a 50p.
They were heavy back in the day.
Yeah.
They were heavy back in the day. Is there anything else? We've been going for an hour. You said we'd only do half hour. We all want to go home.
Yeah, but I've chatted shit for most of it. I do apologise.
What's
the difference?
It's been
like a therapy session, hasn't it, Bruce?
I think Christine's, you've added something that we don't normally have to this podcast.
Professionalism.
Class.
Bullshit.
Knowledge.
Yeah.
In the know.
Yeah, you won't get out. I spend 2 hours every Wednesday getting pelters about what's going on. And I don't break. So I won't be doing that on a podcast either.
Is it quite good when I come then and I just play them videos to watch?
Yeah, they love it. We've got a really, really good group. I think we've been going now 6 years.
Can anyone join or is it hit its limit?
We're at, numbers-wise, we're at our limit. We're at about 15. Oh, we're going on a day trip soon. 15, 16. If Akers is watching this, yeah, he'll be laughing right now. But
when can Bruce join?
You've got a few that are too young to come that are taking up places for the older ones.
We have, but once we get above
16 years 16, old,
they just end up different conversations. So we're a really nice number, but... we're all off to the Football Museum in March.
They haven't updated that, by the way. It's still the old commentaries, which is nice.
Is it?
Have you done that before?
I've been to the Football Museum before, yeah. So they're going to have a look around because the end of the project, we'll have an exhibition. So we're going to talk to them about, because I think this is the third floor, they change it around quite regular.
Yeah.
So they're going to talk to us about how to display your things all differently. And so, yeah, we're going for a jolly up.
Next to the Michael Jackson statue, you can listen to Old Town commentaries, which is quite nice.
Okay.
I say old. It's like Burnsy and Tonda at 2001, but it's good.
So not really that old.
No, not old.
I thought Burnsy was good on when he came on, wasn't he? I enjoyed that.
I would love him back on. He's a, you know. We can't have Christine on too often because she knows things and we can't.
She speaks She speaks a bit too well as well. She's a bit too sort of, you know. It'll be like next week when she's not on, it's just gonna. And we've got Sam back. It's just like, you know, it's just like talking cheese, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
Is that positive or not?
No, that's positive on your part.
I appreciate that, Bruce. I appreciate.
We call him Son on the podcast group because he's so young and bloody. What's the word, Alex? He goes. Everything's an extra annoying.
Everything's an extreme.
He's either extremely happy about something or it's the end of the world. So yeah. We call him Son.
That is a modern young thing, I think. There's very much. There isn't a level. And I don't know if that's because the culture of the, I wouldn't say they were too young, sort of 18 to early 20s, but the culture of going to the pub, ranting, calling something shit and leaving it there, goes onto social media and it just doesn't transcribe like it does in a face-to-face conversation.
Yeah, and they or you do it on a podcast and they bring it up 2 weeks later. I go, well, no, I don't think that now, but we just lost 6-1 to Warsaw. They were shit.
Oh, you've seen Sam moaning at Mercedes then, and these conspiracy theories about Lewis Hamilton and all that sort of malarkey then.
Yeah,
they're not conspiracy theories if they're true.
God, yeah, that's
on the theme of not letting things go. How long ago was that?
Yeah, exactly. I still haven't got over.
Bruce, you've just slagged Port Vale off for chucking coins at you in 1992.
It was even worse than that, Christine.
Thanks for coming. Thank you.
It was even worse than that. He was moaning at Port Vale for what Stoke fans had done in 1992.
It's like moaning at Stoke.
No, they come from the same place, Alex. You would.
No, they don't. Oh, God. You go there and tell them. You go there and tell them that.
All right, Stoke-on-Trent and Burslem or whatever it's called.
I love this. It's going to be basically like a scene out of Lethal Weapon where he has to go and stand in the middle of Burslem going, you're basically just Stoke.
I'll tell you what, the only good thing about the Sam comment is that there's no chance that he is still listening to this podcast if he puts it on tomorrow after an hour.
Is anybody listening to this podcast?
Alex, are you there?
I'm not listening.
67 people live, and I can't count Twitter, which is more. So it's going to be about 120 people. And then, you know, we'll get 1,000 people watching it, listening to it. Because nobody else has anything else to do. We all need to get a life.
Yeah. But if anybody has got anything...
Listen up, saddos.
...memorabilia or any memories or anything like that, wants to do a little bit of an article, whether it's for uni or college or school, for your English GCSE, let me know, let you guys know, come in contact with me, because... it's an open door. Anybody that wants to contribute in any which way, they can do. And if they want to do something but they don't think they've got the skills to do it, then we'll look at training you up. And
this podcast shows that you don't need any skills whatsoever. You can just...
Exactly.
No. And one day we'll have our museum, Christine, won't we? But you'll be retired. We'll be retired and running the museum.
It will. One day.
What are you going to do, put in a porter cabin?
We're moving on from porter cabins.
Are we buying that house, Christine? That's the thing, the house next to the ground, 95 grand. We're going to buy it next to the Mariners Trust Bar?
You know, one house...
Camel Conte money?
95 grand? probably, I don't think
it's a release clause.
I don't think it's going to make much difference to the long-term strategic plan of the football club buying houses one at a time like that.
Oh my God! Everybody who lives nearby, hold on, they're bringing the bulldozers in.
Just going to knock them all down then.
Alex, it'd probably be a wiser investment than some of the players we signed in the summer.
Oh, I'm not saying a word.
That's a joke, by the way.
Well, it was.
It has many problems.
Sometimes it's a joke. Sometimes it isn't a joke. When I watch the six going. Oh, dear. Oh, well, there you go. Thank you, Christine. It's been great to have you on.
No problem.
When's our next game down here?
When is the next game down there? We've got Wimbledon, Sutton, Gillingham.
Wimbledon.
We've got Wimbledon and Sutton the same week.
Yeah,
you have to stay down here.
Me,
Mike's doing extra washing up already.
Yeah, everyone's around Mike's. What have we got here? Nearest one down here, Colchester, 13th of February. I don't think I'll get them.
Is that a Tuesday night?
Yeah, half term week, so that's useful.
Yeah. Who else have we got down here? We've done Newport, haven't we? Sutton, Gillingham on the 16th.
Crawley last game of the season.
Crawley to confirm promotion.
Yeah,
March is going to be quite good for me because I've got Wimbledon and Sutton on that 1 week, and then I'm coming home for 2 weeks, staying in Thorpe Park. So I've got three home games.
Nice.
This feels like a very much north south divide. That Gillingham, Sutton, Wimbledon, all that is very good. By the way,
it's great.
We've got to have something. Do you know?
I can't just jump on the 3F and go to Blundell Park every Saturday. So the odd game down here is fine.
He got stabbed in Croydon.
Twice a season would be nice, Mike.
I ended up in Dorking last time I did that.
He's doing more than that then. So, Mike, you're doing three games at home this season, are you?
No, that'll be four because they're Gillingham with you.
Bruce, yeah.
He's still two behind California Mariner, though, who lives 7,000 miles away.
How'd you work that?
I know, is it Pete Anderson and the lot? I've got to feel sorry for them coming over from Ireland.
They continue to come over when games. Yeah, his lad was over, wasn't he, for the Harrogate game?
I don't think this
is very fair, Bruce. Do you know how many Town fans don't live in Grimsby anymore? Quite a lot of them.
Yeah, some of them live in Cleethorpes.
Yeah, one of them comes on this podcast every week.
Some of them live in Cleethorpes and some of them live in Lincolnshire. I'm a
Town fan, not even from Grimsby.
That's all right.
What I've done wrong in life.
Yeah, to be fair, that is a point, isn't it? You're not from
Technically, I've never lived in North East Lincolnshire, Bruce. So, you know, I'm just as committed as Mike.
No, a lot of our fan, yeah, but you live in Lincolnshire, and a lot of our fan base over the years come from Lincolnshire.
That's true. I just wanted to show that I was special. Christine, thank you.
Those, that's another thing we should start doing, running them buses from Skeggy and them places.
We've looked at it, but the cost is horrific.
Can we buy a bus?
Haven't we discussed that before?
Yeah, I wanted to buy one for the disabled
too. Every couple of months.
65 grand for a bus, and then we can just rent it out. Bruce can take it on away days. The players wonder where it's gone.
In a ditch somewhere.
Bruce, get your bus driver's license.
Because I'm old. Because I'm old, I can drive a 18-seater minibus.
Okay, I can't drive.
A lot of the youngsters now.
I can't. I'm mine. I'm too.
I passed my test embarrassingly late in life, and I can't drive. Shite.
I haven't got a license, Alex. So that's not embarrassingly late.
I thought I'd left it in the freaking base. All I can drive is a moped and a car. And BE, which I assume is a car with a cat trailer, and that's it.
You used to be able to ride 125cc motorbike on your driving license. Can't you even get that anymore?
I don't know, because it's zooming.
I've got more on mine than yours, but I haven't got many of us on mine.
I bet Bruce can drive a tractor. Anyone can drive a tractor.
No, but I bet he enjoys it as well.
Michael Yarbrough wants the club to buy the imp.
Don't start talking about tractors, because Alex will put the music on and we're supposed to be going.
Yeah, that's fine. The Lincolnshire in me will start going excited. Do you want to do the theme tune and everything? Thank you all so much for listening to a podcast without any football in it. A bit like the Warsaw one. That was about it. Thank you all very much. Christine, thank you for joining us. Bruce, thank you always as ever. Your stories are amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Thank you, Your Majesty. Thank you, Mike.
No, okay.
Open wide for some soccer!
And now the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 1130.
Go!
At 1130.
I don't think I've ever wanted to be on a stand more than my life around here. They're going crazy.
They got a penalty here. They've been fish flying about. There's no tomorrow.
What the fuck?